Today is Saturday, January 17th, and this is the World Socialist Website.
The Minnesota General Strike and the Reemergence of Class Struggle in the United States. On January 8th, the day after the ICE murder of Renee Nicole Good in Minneapolis, the World Socialist website posted a statement explaining that the logic of events is moving inexorably toward a general strike against the Trump regime, a mass, coordinated intervention by workers across every industry to bring the machinery of repression and exploitation to a halt. 1 week later, in response to growing pressure from working people outraged over the daily brutality inflicted by Trump's paramilitary forces, a coalition of local trade unions and community organizations in Minneapolis has called a general strike for January 23rd. The Minnesota AFL-CIO has so far failed to endorse the action, and its official webpage, under the slogan, "A Day of Truth and Freedom," carefully avoids the word strike, instead urging workers to call in sick, consumers not to purchase anything, and businesses to close voluntarily. The union apparatus, closely tied to the Democratic Party, is attempting to counteract a growing sympathy for a general strike that is taking hold among broad layers of the population. However, the very fact that the general strike has entered political discussion is itself an expression of a new stage in the class struggle and the social and political polarization of the United States. It reflects a growing sense within the working class that traditional political channels, court challenges, appeals to politicians, electoral maneuvers, and pressure campaigns are incapable of halting the rapid turn toward dictatorship. At the immediate level, the call for a general strike in Minnesota is a response to the dramatic escalation of repression by the Trump administration and ICE in Minneapolis and other cities. What began as mass raids and sweeps targeting immigrant workers has developed into paramilitary deployments in the occupation of a major U.S. city. This assault has stripped away all democratic pretenses, signaled Trump's threat to invoke extraordinary powers, including the Insurrection Act, and deploy the military against the population. Trump's response to opposition is to escalate. The murder of Renee Good has been followed by a wave of repression, further deployments and threats against protesters for engaging in insurrection and terrorism. On Friday, the Department of Justice opened a criminal investigation into Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey, issuing subpoenas on the fraudulent charge that they impeded federal immigration enforcement, an extraordinary use of the justice system against elected officials. There are, however, broader issues involved. The United States has reached a point where the scale of political breakdown and the ferocity of class tensions are generating profound shifts in consciousness. The Trump administration, speaking and acting for the capitalist oligarchy, is dismantling democratic rights and tearing up what remains of public education, healthcare, and other social services. Workers face an AI-driven jobs bloodbath, soaring inflation, and deepening debt, while U.S. billionaires increased their collective wealth by 18% last year alone, to nearly $7 trillion. There is a mood of resistance that reflects a growing sense that things cannot continue in the old way. Polls, which invariably understate oppositional sentiment, show deep hostility to the Trump administration's repression, with a majority of Americans disapproving of ICE's tactics and the way immigration is being handled, and many opposing military action abroad, including the invasion of Venezuela and war threats against Iran. The strike of 15,000 nurses in New York City, the largest in the city's history, is an early sign of opposition that will grow in 2026, as is, in a different form, the fact that the Detroit auto worker, who was suspended for calling out Trump earlier this week, raised more than $800,000 via GoFundMe in a few days from tens of thousands of people. This growing opposition must be transformed into a conscious, organized movement. There exists a long and powerful tradition of class struggle in the United States, including of the general strike. From Philadelphia in 1835 to St. Louis in 1877, to Seattle in 1919 and San Francisco and Toledo in 1934, the decisive factor has never been the militancy of the call alone, but whether the working class entered the struggle consciously and independently in opposition to the institutions seeking to contain it. Minneapolis itself has a long history of class conflict. The 1934 Minneapolis truck drivers' strike, led by Trotskyist workers in Teamsters Local 574, transformed a local organizing drive into a citywide general strike that paralyzed commerce and confronted the combined forces of the employers, police, National Guard, Farmer Labor Party, and Roosevelt administration. Its victory helped spark the mass industrial unionization of the 1930s and remains a powerful demonstration of what the working class can achieve when it fights under its own leadership and with a clear political perspective. Trump's brazen impunity is the product of a prolonged absence of organized working class resistance in the U.S. Over decades, the labor bureaucracy dismantled the workers' movement, while the ruling class enriched itself through imperialist war and a massive transfer of wealth. In this vacuum, the most ruthless sections of the bourgeoisie have come to believe they can act without constraint. The assault on the working class was reinforced by an ideological campaign to deny its very existence as a social force. In a country once defined by frequent strikes and mass confrontations between labor and capital, the Democratic Party, official academia, and the political pseudo-left advanced ideologies, above all racial and gender identity politics, that rejected Marxism, denied the reality of class struggle, and dismissed the role of the working class as a revolutionary force. The re-election of Trump marked a violent realignment of the state to reflect the reality of oligarchic rule in the United States. Moreover, the extreme character of its actions, both on the domestic and international levels, reflects the intensity of the crisis confronting American capitalism, expressed in the devaluation of the dollar, the staggering buildup of debt, and the rampant speculation that underlies the wealth of the oligarchy. This is the backdrop to the realignment from below that is beginning to take shape through the growing resurgence of open class conflict as the central axis of social and political life. Moreover, the development of the class struggle in the United States will have immense international repercussions, shattering the myth that American workers are uniquely reactionary or incapable of collective struggle. The events in Minneapolis mark the opening of a new stage of departure. Though still in its initial stages, it can be confidently predicted that the class struggle within the Twin Cities and throughout the country will develop at a speed driven by the intensity of the capitalist crisis. The anger provoked by the actions of the Trump administration will make ever clearer the connection between what is unfolding in Minnesota and the broader crisis of the capitalist system. But there are political lessons to be drawn from these events. For those seeking a way to stop these atrocities, it is essential to understand the deep and entrenched opposition to any mass movement against fascism, not only from Trump, but also from the Democratic Party. As a party of Wall Street and imperialist war, the Democrats seek at every point to contain opposition, to block the emergence of an independent struggle against Trump, and to prevent it from developing into a broader fight against the oligarchy and capitalism. Moreover, even as the Trump administration attacks leading Democrats, he can count on their support in the defense of the global interests of American imperialism. The fight against Trump requires the construction of new organizations in the working class that can unify the defense of democratic rights in opposition to dictatorship with the growing social struggles of workers. It is necessary to impart to the emerging class movement a clear political strategy, connecting the fight against fascism to the fight against exploitation, war, and the capitalist system itself in the U.S. and internationally. This depends above all on the conscious intervention of the Marxist movement in the working class. The perspective of the Socialist Equality Party and the International Committee of the Fourth International has always emphasized the revolutionary role of the American working class as a decisive component of the international working class. The SIP has fought consistently against all efforts to subordinate workers to the Democratic Party and its affiliated organizations. Through the initiation of the International Workers' Alliance of Rank and File Committees, IWARFC, the ICFI has developed the organizational form for a rebellion against the pro-corporate trade union apparatus. And most recently, the ICFI and WSWS has launched Socialism AI as a vital tool for the political education of workers and youth in the great lessons of the 20th and 21st centuries. Above all, the strategic experiences of the Marxist movement. In the actions of the Trump regime, the American oligarchy is crossing a Rubicon from which there is no turning back. The issue confronting millions of workers and young people is the most fundamental: socialism or barbarism. The World Socialist website urges all working people who want to stop the descent into fascism and war, who want to fight for a future based on equality, democracy, and peace, to draw the necessary conclusions and join the SEP.
Washington menaces Iran at UN Security Council amid mounting signs of an impending U.S. military strike, by Jordan Shilton. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Mike Waltz, declared threateningly that, quote, all options are on the table, end quote, at an emergency UN Security Council meeting called by the United States Thursday on the protests in Iran. Amid a brutal crackdown by the bourgeois clerical regime in Tehran following the outbreak of protests on December 28th, U.S. President Donald Trump is setting the stage for a second American bombardment of the country in just over 6 months. Quote, President Trump is a man of action, not of endless talk like we see at the United Nations. He has made it clear all options are on the table to stop the slaughter, end quote, asserted Waltz. Media reports indicate that Trump to deploy to the Persian Gulf, which will take approximately a week. Washington's preparations for a military onslaught on Iran have nothing to do with alleged concern for the democratic rights of its 93 million strong population. On the contrary, Trump, senior officials in his administration, the corporate-controlled media, and political leaders from the imperialist powers in Europe are cynically exploiting Tehran's crackdown on protests to justify an imperialist-orchestrated regime change operation to bring to power a pro-Western government in Tehran. This is viewed as an essential step in the consolidation of American imperialist hegemony over the oil-rich Middle East, and the sidelining of China and Russia, which have significant economic and military ties, respectively, with Tehran. With its championing of Israel's genocide against the Palestinians in Gaza, Washington has worked systematically since late 2023 to weaken the Iranian regime and its influence across the region. The tens of billions of dollars in weaponry funneled to the criminal Zionist regime under Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's far-right government, allowed Israel not only to butcher Palestinian civilians, but decimate the military infrastructure of Hamas in Gaza and Hezbollah in Lebanon, two close Iranian allies. U.S. and Israeli strikes on Yemen also significantly damaged the capabilities of the Houthis, who rely on military backing from Tehran. In late 2024, a U.S.-backed offensive by former al-Qaeda fighters in Syria toppled the Assad regime, another close Iranian ally. Then, in June 2025, the U.S. and Israel conducted a 12-day war against Iran, repeatedly striking its military and nuclear facilities. This was followed in September by the decision of the European imperialist powers to impose the quote-unquote snapback mechanism to reintroduce UN sanctions on Iran that had been suspended under the nuclear accord with the US and European powers. Trump unilaterally withdrew from the agreement and reimposed sanctions on Iran during his first term in 2018. The latest round of protests initially broke out among the bazaar merchants, shopkeepers, and small business proprietors who have traditionally served as a key pillar of support for the regime, but have been hit hard by the collapse in the Iranian currency's value and the broader economic crisis. They spread in some areas to include university students and drew in some workers as individual participants. However, the longer the protests went on, the more right-wing and explicitly pro-imperialist they became. Although accurate reports are sparse due to the regime's imposition of an internet blackout over a week ago, the government's admission that over 100 security personnel were killed, including in armed attacks on police stations, indicates a significant level of armed violence among the protesters. A wave of ruthless repression was launched by the regime, resulting, according to one government official's account cited in Reuters this week, in the deaths of 2,000 people. A U.S.-backed human rights group, HRANA, puts the toll at even higher, at over 2,600. Estimates of the numbers detained range from an official Iranian government figure of 3,000 to 22,000, according to human rights observers. While there can be no doubt about the brutality of the regime's repression, the fact that media outlets have reported a subsiding of protests over the course of this week also points to the lack of social support they enjoyed from the working class and rural toilers. Iranian workers did not participate in the demonstrations en masse, and as a class, a reflection of the pro-imperialist bourgeois character of the movement's demands. The main spokesman in the foreign media for the protests has been Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi, the son of the hated Shah, who ruled the country with an iron fist as a U.S. At a press conference held in Washington Friday, Pahlavi underscored his endorsement of a violent imperialist orchestrated targeting the regime and pledging to return to the country with a new constitution. Quote, "The Iranian people are taking decisive action on the ground," end quote, he continued. Quote, "It is now time for the international community to join them fully. I believe that President Trump is a man of his word and, ultimately, he will stand with the Iranian people," end quote. Millions of people throughout the Middle East have made bitter experiences with the claim that American imperialism can serve as a liberator from Iran's neighbors Iraq and Syria to Libya, Somalia, and Yemen. As the World Socialist website explained in an earlier perspective, quote, "Any progressive tendency in Iran would have to immediately repudiate Trump's alleged support, denounce the threat of imminent U.S. military action, and call for the immediate lifting of the punitive sanctions that are strangling Iran's economy," end quote. Nonetheless, the Iranian regime has itself been forced to acknowledge the deep economic and social crisis in the country, which has fueled a series of strikes by workers over recent months and undoubtedly drove some of the protesters to demonstrate. President Masoud Pezeshkian declared on Thursday that Tehran was working to combat some of the economic problems underlying the demonstrations, citing foreign currency exchange rates and corruption. In reality, the bourgeois clerical regime has presided over a devastating collapse of the Iranian economy over recent years, albeit one for which the imperialist powers bear primary responsibility. The concessions made to the working class following the 1979 revolution, which were from the outset combined with the ruthless suppression of left-wing organizations, have long since been eliminated. American and now UN sanctions have caused the value of the rial, Iran's currency, to plunge from around 800,000 to the dollar at the beginning of 2025. The rial was trading at over 1.4 million to the dollar by year's end. This has fueled an increase in prices for basic foodstuffs, by about 72% over the past year. High inflation is hitting other parts of the economy as well, which is underperforming due to a lack of investment and import restrictions caused by sanctions. Unemployment has increased as a result. The social crisis facing the vast majority of the population is further compounded by a sustained drought, now in its sixth year, which has driven water levels in dozens of dams across the country to record lows and even raised the fear that Tehran may need to be evacuated unless rainfall occurs in the coming months. None of these social ills will be resolved by lending any support to protests calling for a U.S. quote-unquote regime change operation, which would result in the establishment of a neo-colonial regime under Pahlavi's dictatorship. Iran would be thrown open to the tender mercies of global finance capital, which would seize control of Iran's oil and gas sector, privatize any remaining public services, and ratchet up the exploitation of Iranian workers to fill the pockets of American and European investors, as well as their Iranian puppets in pro-monarchist bourgeois and petty bourgeois circles. Iranian workers require first and foremost their unconditional political independence from all factions of the bourgeoisie, including those championing imperialist intervention and those still loyal to the Islamic Republic. The most important precondition for this is unflinching opposition to all forms of imperialist intervention. Workers must oppose imperialist orchestrated regime change and call for the immediate lifting of all punitive sanctions against Iran. This fight demands the closest unity between Iranian workers and the working class throughout the region, which has long suffered the predations of imperialist wars and divide and rule tactics that have fueled fratricidal religious, ethnic, and national conflicts. It also necessitates an appeal for class unity with workers in the imperialist centers of North America and Europe, where Trump and the European imperialists are making workers pay for the imperialist war machines and bullying tactics against Iran by slashing jobs, banning strikes, and destroying public services. Developing this struggle is possible only on the basis of a socialist and internationalist program, which is implacably hostile to imperialism and the bourgeois nationalism of the clerical regime in Tehran. The Iranian regime ultimately seeks to cut a deal with imperialism, or to maneuver between it and its rivals like China, which has brought up large quantities of Iranian oil over recent years and supplied Tehran with a critical economic lifeline. But under conditions of a rapidly escalating redivision of the world among the major powers, which is leading toward a third global imperialist war, such a policy is no longer viable. The alternative lies in the repudiation of bourgeois nationalism and a turn by workers in Iran to the fight for a workers' government as part of the United Socialist States of the Middle East. This is the program fought for by the World Socialist website and the International Committee of the Fourth International. For these articles and more, visit the World Socialist website at wsws.org. For the World Socialist website, this has been Jesse Thomas.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.